I bless you today, beloved, in the wonderful and marvelous name of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the name of the life that came down out of heaven and manifested to us. We worship this life of God. We worship Jesus Christ. We honor the righteous life of the Father. We acknowledge today that Jesus, you are the only righteous life that there is. We believe in you. We depend on you. We thank you for what you have accomplished. We thank you for taking our unrighteous, corruptible life to the cross and suffering the wrath of God in our place and crucifying that life so that, Lord, we could have yours, we could believe in yours, and we can lay hold of yours. In the marvelous name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you today, beloved, in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, in the beautiful name of the life. I remember when worship began to transition as I began to truly understand the gospel and meditate on the scriptures until it became clear. And then as I began to worship Jesus, even mostly I would recognize that in church services, where before I was thinking of him way up above me on a throne and picturing him. And then when I really began to understand the truth, I began to worship the life that was inside of me. I began to worship the life that was with us here. I began to worship the life that came down out of heaven because I recognized, I understood that Jesus is the eternal life. 1 John chapter 1, the eternal life that was with the Father has been manifested to us, has been made known to us, came down out of heaven, and we touched it, we felt it, we heard it, we experienced it, the eternal life. Oh my goodness. That's what we have when we truly believe what Jesus did, when we understand, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that all who believe in him wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. It's that same eternal life that 1 John says came out of heaven. Jesus Christ is the eternal life of God. Eternal life is not what you get when you die. Eternal life is not even how long you're going to live. Eternal life, very simply, is Jesus Christ. He is the perpetual, if you really define eternal life from Greek into English, possibly a more proper definition would be perpetual. You look it up, see if I'm telling the truth, of course. But when I look at those two Greek words, eternal is aeon. It means ongoing. It can be used for, usually in the Bible, it's used for a long period of time. It's not used meaning forever. It's used meaning a long period of time. It's a, we would call eons and eons, we've heard people say. The word eternal is aeon, and it had several meanings. One was a very long time. Another was ongoing, continual. Perpetual would be a good word. Perpetual means it doesn't stop. Perpetual, ongoing, continual. And then the word life there is Zoe. And if you, even there's apps on phones now where you can look up the word eternal life and click on it and it'll show you the Strong's. And then there are some I love, oh my goodness, I love And Bible. It's for Android, so it says A-N-D, and Bible. So many tools. But when you can click on a word, it'll tell you everywhere that word is found in the scriptures. I used to have to use that big, fat Strong's Concordance. I still have three of them that I haven't touched in like 10 years. I used to have to use that to do those kinds of word studies, and now it's made so much simpler. But when you look up that word for life, when the phrase eternal life is used, or when Jesus was talking about spiritual life, you'll find the word Zoe. And that word Zoe is always It's never used for our regular human life. It's never used in any context except for talking about spiritual life, true life, the life that comes from the Father that is pure and that is righteous and that is holy. The eternal life, the perpetual Zoe of God, is available now to us. Why? Because Jesus came here, and he who knew no sin was made to be sin. He became our sinful, corrupt life, not when he was born in Bethlehem, but when he went to that cross. He drank the cup in the garden. He went to the cross, and on that cross, he became what we are. That's why Moses held up a snake. He held up a serpent. Jesus became the nature of the devil. That's what we are, friend. That people have a hard time with that because they've never really heard the gospel, most of them. But Jesus became sin. He was made to be sin. He didn't carry it. He was made to be it, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What this means is he became the life of the first Adam, the corruptible life, the sinful life. And it was put to death on that cross so that we could partake of the incorruptible life, of the sinless and the righteous life of the Father called Jesus Christ. As Moses held up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, who all who believe in him. That's John 3:14. It's amazing. Nobody knows that, almost. I'm sure there some are, but what I mean by you is that the whole world knows John 3:16, but almost none of them know John 3:14, or even after what it says after John 3:16. This is the condemnation. The light came into the world, but men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," whoever believes in this life of the Father that came down out of heaven, "shouldn't perish, but have the perpetual Zoe of God." It's wonderful. So we need to begin to understand what the true gospel is. He came and he put Jeff, he put you, he put all of us to death on that cross so that we could be a partaker of the divine nature of God, the life of Jesus Christ. This is why Colossians says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ." And when Christ, who is your life, appears, it's exactly the way it's worded, Colossians chapter 3, look there in verse 1 through 3 or so. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you shall appear with him in glory. The depth of the new covenant is, friend, that we were crucified, that we died. All who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with all of its lust and all of its affections. It's not saying everybody who belongs to Jesus is well behaved. It's saying they died with him. This is what Romans, the entire thing, is trying to explain to us. How can you continue in sin if you died to it? Or do you not know that all who are baptized into Jesus are baptized into his death? You see, the new covenant is believing what he did. It's believing and finding out what we are and why we had to die, believing that we did die so that we can be partakers of a new life, the life of Jesus. The new covenant works by believing what he did, by understanding what he did. God said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." That really means they don't understand the truth. They don't perceive it. It doesn't make sense to them. And he's not just talking about the Jews. He's talking about everybody that believes in God, because the Bible said the natural man, not the Jewish man, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. It even says that the message of the cross, what I'm talking to you about right now, the message of the cross is foolishness to the natural mind. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense how God sent his Son to become me, to put me to death, so that I could become him and walk in his life and sit on his seat with him. That doesn't even make any sense to the natural mind because we see things naturally. This is a spiritual thing. But this is the message of the cross. It's the new covenant. This is why, if you really want the life of God, if you really want Jesus Christ, if you want eternal life, perpetual Zoe, then the initiation into that belief, the first thing, one of the first things you do to lay hold of that is that you get baptized. And when you get baptized, you're identifying with what he accomplished. It's amazing to me how many millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people have been baptized, even in Jesus' name, even in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, no matter what they can say at all. But they've been baptized, but they do not know the message of the cross. They don't even realize that they're proclaiming their death. They don't even realize that they're demonstrating a denial of themselves, a belief in the life of the last Adam. You see, the baptism is a physical act how do I word that? A physical act that is the same thing that John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. Baptism is a physical act declaring that, not my life anymore, Lord. I don't want to walk in Jeff. I thank you that you put Jeff to death because you have shown me by your grace and by the law and by the truth. You have shown me what Jeff is. And now I see that he is not righteous and whatever he does is tainted and impure because he was born of Adam. He was born in iniquity. He's a worker of iniquity. And he could not be fixed. He couldn't be helped. God already did all that. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Word. He sent the law. He sent the angels. He sent the power. He sent the miracles. And yet, not a single Adam was truly fixed. They were all still the workers of iniquity, even those who tried the hardest. Now, let's get into what I want to talk about today. That's just a nice little introduction in Jesus' name. And oh, man, what an introduction. Thank you, Lord, for the message of the cross. That's enough right there. But I want to help you today because there's so much darkness and confusion. Satan rules over the darkness. Satan doesn't rule over fornication. He rules over the darkness. He's not the kingdom of violence. Satan doesn't have the kingdom of adultery. Satan has the kingdom of darkness. He and every demon and angel under him, all that are part of Satan's kingdom, they have one job in mind, one goal in mind, to keep us in the dark when it comes to the truth. They do not want you to understand the message of the cross. This is what they rule over. They rule over our ignorance. They keep us in the dark. They love religion. They use the Bible continually. They love people building churches and going to churches that are not truly preaching the message of the cross. It's all part of their domain. It's all part of Satan's kingdom. That's terrifying, but it's so true. It's all part of Satan's kingdom to keep us in the dark. And so the enemy wants to keep us from understanding the truth. And I want to show you some things here that I've never heard ever. Anybody, I've read in some books, some good books, amen. I'm trying to think of who I'm, Watchman Nee. There are several different ones that really got it in the past. And most of them ended up in prison or killed or something like that. But they really understood the message and they shared that message, amen. Abiding, Andrew Murray, very deep, talked a lot about the law, trying to remember some other ones. But I'm definitely not declaring I'm the only one that knows the truth. There's just not many. It's very hard to find. God told me over 3 years ago to get off, to take my ministry off of YouTube and off of Facebook and quit trying to use that. And he spoke to me. This is what he said. He said, do you truly believe? When I began to understand the true gospel and how different it is than what's presented in the realm of darkness, in this world, what's presented as the gospel is not. And when I really began to understand what it is, I said, why don't I hear this? Why have I not heard this? Why can't I find it on YouTube? Why can't I find it? Why can't I find it on the internet? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, do you believe that the Antichrist will allow you to use his platform to preach the true message of the cross? That's what the Lord told me. And people thought I was crazy because I shared that with several people, and I quit. I quit Facebook like 3 years ago. I said, I'm not doing it anymore. The Lord told me what it is. And I even thought I might be crazy. And then a couple years later, we found out Facebook, YouTube, Google, all of these guys are in cahoots to block any information they don't want us to hear. They will only allow us to hear what they want us to hear, and they will block things. As a matter of fact, before God told me that, YouTube erased my channel, took all of my information, and I couldn't even get it. I had no access to it. All of my messages, all of my sermons, and sent me a little email saying I'd violated a policy without any details. For weeks, I called them. For weeks, I wrote emails. For weeks, I did everything I could to try to get a hold of them, and they never would give me an answer. They couldn't give me an answer. It's just Satan. That is Satan's platform. And so the Lord is telling me, get off of that. You're not going to hear the true gospel there. But friend, I know I'm not the only one. I know that there are people who understand the true message of the cross, and they're scattered throughout the world, and they preach that message, but few listen and few want to hear it. What Adam loves is to hear how much God loves his life and wants to bless it. And so what Adam usually preaches when he preaches the Bible is he preaches the old covenant. Now he mentions Jesus, he mentions the blood, he mentions a bunch of things that are in the new covenant, but his message and his foundation is the old covenant message. Now let's get to this because this is where the meat is today that I want to share with you. If you will look in one of the most popular scriptures in the modern Christian church is Joshua 1, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 in there. If you will look at that, and people quote this all the time. This is God, or seven, I'm sorry, Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. If you will look at this that Christians are constantly quoting very often, if we'll meditate in his word day and night, and we'll prove to do all that is written therein, we'll make our way successful, we'll have good success. This is the message that is preached. The message that is preached to Adam is basically if you will do certain things for God, if you will do what God tells you to do, then he will make your life great. He will bless your life. You will be successful. Your finances will be successful. Your relationships will be successful. Your kids will be successful. This is what modern Christianity is most often presenting to people. Now, we saw this message radicalized by the Word of Faith movement, the prosperity movement. We saw that message radicalized where people are preaching, if you will obey God, you will have good success. And the main thing they want you to obey God in, no wonder, is the tithe. Why? Because that's part of building something. Your tithe is part of building an organization, a structure that most often has nothing to do with the true kingdom of God, is not preaching anything even close to the true message of the cross. What they are preaching is actually bringing every person who adheres to it under a curse. Now, they're already cursed, so it's not like something's new, but I guess I shouldn't say it that way, because when you set out to obey God's command so that you'll have success, you are subjecting yourself in much greater measure to the curse of the law. Those that do not have the law, of course, they're still under the curse of sin. They're still suffering. But those who do have the law, The curse is ratcheted up when they try to do what God says to do so that they will have success. Because that is what the law is. If you could define the law, the Bible does it. We don't have to define it. But the Bible does it in several places, and it defines it as briefly as possible. In Galatians and Romans, it says that the law is he who does these things will live by them. That's in Galatians and in Romans. He who does these things will live by them. And that's in Deuteronomy also. That's how the law is defined. But in Deuteronomy, in the original text, oh my goodness, I was studying today and I found something I never knew. All the Hebrew Bibles in Deuteronomy have removed the word all. When it's said in Deuteronomy, I believe I posted that verse here. When it's said in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, I used the literal version here because the Septuagint and all the Samaritan Bible, all the other Bibles have this word all there, but only the Hebrew Bible took it out. And one of the saints many, many, many years ago, Jerome, I believe was his name. He said that the Jews did this on purpose. That's why they're only the Jews' Bible, only the Jewish Hebrew Bible, not the original text, but the Hebrew Bible that the Jews have carried on has removed the word all out of Deuteronomy. All the other old manuscripts we find, the Samaritan Bible, the Septuagint, all these different versions that we find, they have the word all in Deuteronomy 27, 26. Cursed is he who does not rise to all the words. All is a very important word. When Paul quoted this scripture in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, he quoted Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. And he said, all, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things. That's what Joshua 1:8 or 1:7 and 8 says. All. You see the word there several times. Because God is speaking to the Jews and he's giving them the law, and to Joshua, and through Joshua, he's saying, if you will continue to do all, if you will meditate on my word day and night and do every jot, every tittle, if you will do everything that it says, you will make your way successful. Now, what Adam wants to do, watch this. I know that was a lot of stuff there, but listen to this. What Adam wants to do is he wants to remove the word all. Because if we can take the word all out of there, then it basically just says whatever you obey God in, you're going to be blessed. It doesn't say you have to obey all that God said to be blessed. It just says you have to obey God to be blessed. So we say, hey, tithe, and your finances will be blessed. When we don't realize what we're doing is taking one little piece of the law and telling someone, if you'll do this one thing, then your finances will be blessed. But that's not what the law taught. The law taught if you do all that God commanded and not miss a single point, then you shall make your way successful and you will prosper. And we find out later. Now, watch, oh my goodness, Holy Spirit, we really need your help here. I want to slow down here. I hope you're really attentive today. And God really helps you to receive and understand. I want to really help us to draw a contrast between the old covenant and the new covenant. I open this up talking about the new covenant in his blood and what it really is. But the old covenant is whoever obeys all that God has commanded will prosper and be in good health and make his way very successful. That's the law. But we find out later through the Apostle Paul, God showed him why the law was given. Why did God tell Adam, if you'll obey everything I tell you, you'll make your way prosperous and have good success? The reason God did it is to expose his sin. If you look at these scriptures here, if you look in Romans chapter 3, now we know what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, So that, here's the reason the law was given, that every mouth may be stopped. What does that mean? Every mouth may be shut, every voice silenced, and all the world may become guilty before God. The law was given not because God wanted to bless our life. He knew what our life was when he gave us the law. He's not interested in blessing our life. He's interested in giving us the blessed life of the Father, Jesus Christ. But he told our life, if you'll do everything I say. Why did he tell us that? According to Romans, it's so that every person's mouth will be shut and every human being alive will stand guilty before God. The reason God gave the law was to show us that all of us are lawbreakers. The reason he gave us the law is to show us what is wrong with us, what our life is. You keep reading verse 20 there, Romans 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For it's through the law that we have the knowledge of sin. What does the law do? The law gives us a knowledge of sin. It shows us what's wrong with us. It reveals what's wrong with the life that we were born with, so that perchance we might hate it, we might reject it, we might believe in the life of Jesus and look for it to consume us and for ours to decrease. This is the true message of the cross. Now, when we look in Galatians, it's amazing because it says, every person who is after the works of the law, all who, watch this, very simple, every person who tries to obey God's commandments so that their life will be blessed and successful and prosperous, every person who does that in any area, they are under a curse. And they are subjecting themselves to a curse. You can see this happen over and over because all those who preach, if you'll obey God, you'll be blessed, eventually falter and fail and collapse because the message that they're representing is bringing us into a curse and they are cursing themselves. If I get up and tell people, listen, if you will stop committing adultery, if you will pay your tithe, if you will not get drunk, if you will do these things, then God will bless your family. He'll bless your life. He'll make you successful. I am preaching something that is going to cause the people who want to hear it and are adhering to it, it's going to cause them to be cursed. It's going to cause everything they're hoping for to falter and fail. They're going to serve God and be faithful to God so their kids turn out good. The kids don't turn out good. They're going to be faithful and serve God and give their tithe and give their offering so that their marriage is blessed. Their marriage ends up on the rocks. I mean, it all collapses. Why? Because the law wasn't given so you could be successful. The law was given to show you what you are. And by trying to do what God said to do so that you'll be blessed, you're actually bringing yourself under, more so, under the curse that comes with the law. Because if you don't do it perfectly, then everything collapses and your life is cursed. And it's amazing today that in almost every Christian church, this is the message being preached. Obey God and your life will be blessed. They're not preaching, hate your life and believe in the life of Jesus. Believe that you died. Know why you had to die. Identify with his death. Identify with the burial. Identify with the resurrection. Identify with the ascension. Understand it. Walk with the Spirit until you understand the truth of the good news and what he did accomplish because you couldn't do it. What the law couldn't do, and that it was weak because of our flesh, because of our natural life, the law could not bring about any true righteousness. What the law couldn't do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did it by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus became what we are, and God put it to death. Oh, what a powerful gospel when we really begin to grasp it and understand it. But is it not amazing? Is it not mind-blowing to see, if you can see it, that nearly every so-called Christian church that's supposed to be preaching the gospel is actually preaching the exact same thing Joshua said. If you'll do what God said to do, you'll prosper. You'll have success. God will bless your life. Now let's talk about the truth. When Jesus came, it was time to introduce the new covenant because the old one didn't work because the people were bound with iniquity. It doesn't work. It came to reveal their iniquity. It didn't come to make them righteous. So when Jesus comes, he doesn't come preaching, obey God and your life will be blessed. He doesn't come preaching, obey God and he'll give you the money. He'll give you the cows. He'll give you the houses. He'll give you success. He'll put you on the top. He doesn't come preaching that. What he comes preaching is, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. You can't get to the Father by trying to do what he said to do. You can only get to the Father through the eternal life of the Father, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, eat of me or drink of me, or you have no life in you. Jesus says, you'll either love God or you'll love money or you'll hate God. And I'm sorry, he says you'll love one and hate the other. Oh my goodness. So if you want earthly success, it's because you really don't love God, don't understand the kingdom. You don't understand how corrupt everything is here. You don't understand it. So Jesus comes not wanting anything the world has to offer. Was there any Adam more obedient than Jesus? He's the only Adam that was ever fully obedient. And yet he gained everything, but he didn't gain the world. His kingdom is not of this world. God made him the head and not the tail. God put him on the top forever. Exactly what he promised. If Adam would obey everything God said to do, Jesus is the only one that ever did it. And God gave him everything he promised to give him. That's why Galatians says the promise that was given to Abraham was not to him and his seeds. It was to him and his seed. It was all about Jesus Christ. God made him the head and not the tail. Those who are still trying to obey God so that God will put them on the top are in deep darkness and deception. They don't understand the cross. Jesus comes not preaching, obey God and he'll put you on the top. Jesus comes preaching, if you'll believe in me, you're going to suffer, you're going to be rejected, you're going to be ostracized, and all men will hate you on account of what you're saying and what you are believing. This is what Jesus preached. Jesus never preached success for obedience. He didn't preach that. Now, you can take some things he says deeply, strongly out of context and try to say that he's saying that, but he didn't preach that. He preached that you will suffer, you will be rejected, you will be ostracized. He hated money. He preached against money, though he used it. He preached against wanting it. He preached against desiring it. He said, you'll love one, hate the other, cling to one, despise the other. And the religious people were standing there saying, man, this guy's crazy. Why? Because they love money, of course. Adam loves money. All of us love it. We love success and stuff, and we want to be on the top. But God didn't come to put our life on top. He came to crucify it and to give us his. But when you really look at these scriptures, you'll understand why the Christian church is so often failing, why the big ministers fall, why all of the shame upon the quote body of Christ, because it's not really the body of Christ. They're preaching the law and they're demonstrating to the world that it doesn't work. They're demonstrating to the world that those who preach it the loudest fall the hardest. Those who proclaim it the loudest end up falling the hardest. I've seen it so many times. I remember a relative of mine in Brazil, my wife's former brother-in-law, pastor for years. He went on a campaign against divorce. He even put billboards all over the city, God hates divorce. And then a couple years later, his wife ended up leaving him. He ended up getting a divorce. They couldn't work it out. He got kicked out of his denomination because they won't even let you preach if you've got a divorce. They won't let you be pastor if you've ever had a divorce. And so he ends up kicked out of his denomination. He ends up divorced. And it's the thing that he was standing against. Why did that happen? Why did that? It happened because he wasn't preaching the gospel. He was preaching, if you'll obey God, you'll be blessed. God hates divorce. Don't do it. What happens to him? He ends up divorced. If you stand up and say, if you'll serve God and obey God, he'll bless your marriage. Watch your marriage crumble. Why? Because your marriage could crumble anyway. I'm not saying that your marriage won't crumble if you don't say that. It could anyway, but you're setting yourself up for a fall. You're ratcheting up the curse upon your own life when you stand for the law. When you say if you'll do what God said to do, you'll be blessed. You're setting yourself up for the enemy to hit you. Because the reason God gave the law was to bring every man under condemnation, to bring every man under judgment, every human being to reveal to them what they are, and to shut every mouth in the world. No one can proclaim that they're good. No one can say they're righteous. The law proves they're not. And then Jesus comes, and he's got the solution. The solution is, friend, we had to die. Our life is not good. The solution is everything in this world is corruptible, and God wants to give us an incorruptible kingdom. And if we're willing to reject what this world has to offer, then we can lay hold of what He has to offer. What is it going to cost us? A lot of difficulty, a lot of suffering, a lot of rejection, a lot of pain. But beloved, in the end, we're only here for a short season. The sufferings of this present time can't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, I do a lot of these devotions, and they're about the same thing. And the reason that I guess I could say I harp on it, I would love to talk about what it means to really walk in faith, what it means to really believe, and the peace and the strength. And sometimes I do, but most often I'm having to contrast what people are actually preaching with the truth because the enemy has us in the dark. The benefits of the kingdom, it's not just walking around suffering all the time if you believe in Jesus. The benefits are an assurance on the inside. The benefits are believing what he's done, seeing what he's finished, and waiting for this corruptible to put on incorruption, looking to him for his life to manifest in us. Walking with him, understanding the truth, makes you free from bondage, makes you free from anxiety, makes you free from all of these things. So there are many benefits to walking with God, but getting rich is not one of them. Your marriage working out is not a promise of the new covenant. As a matter of fact, Jesus said the opposite. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to heal your marriage. I didn't come to heal your family relationships. I came to bring a sword into your house, to divide a husband from his wife, a child from their parent. Why? What? Why is Jesus a sword that divides? Because anybody who believes in the new covenant and what he actually did is going to be hated by every Adam who wants to live, who wants their life. They don't want to let go of it. They don't want to hate it. They don't want to reject it. They want it. They want it to be good. They want it to be successful. They want it to be happy. And it's a threat to them to tell them their life is corruptible and not good. And it had to be crucified. And if they'll reject it and believe in Jesus Christ, then they can have a different life. They can have the eternal life. They can have Jesus. They can have the life of the Father. But it's going to be a tough journey, and they're not going to be liked, and they're going to be rejected. Friend, people don't want that. They don't want to hear that. They want God to bless their life. They would much rather hear that if you'll do what God said to do, He'll make you successful. They would much rather hear that. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that. Jesus said, those who have the old wine do not right away desire the new, because they think that the old is better. Our life perceives that if I do what God says to do, now we leave the word all out, of course. We don't like that word all. But if I do what God says to do, He's going to bless my life. And that's what we want, friend, all of us. All of us want our life to be blessed, our life to be successful, our life to be happy, our life to be carefree, our life to be pain-free. We all want that. That's what we desire. It's just not going to happen, but that's what we all want. So those who have the old wine, if you'll do what God said to do, He'll bless your life, Oh my goodness, somebody comes along and says your life will never do what God says to do and it'll never be blessed. That's why it had to die. What do you think they're going to want? You think they want the new wine? No way, friend. The old wine is much better. Just do what God says to do and my life will be blessed. I'll be happy. He'll make me the head, not the tail. I'll be successful. He'll make me rich. My marriage will turn out great. My kids will turn out righteous and powerful. And all of these things that they're holding on to are false. And the reason they believe them is because they have not yet understood the purpose of why God told them to do good and he would bless their life. He didn't tell them that because they could do it, or even because he wanted to bless their life. He told them that to expose what their life is so they'd be willing to reject it. And so, beloved, in Jesus' name, oh my goodness, 40 minutes, I just started. I'm going to keep this short. And this is very short. I pray in the name of Jesus that he would be gracious unto you and make his face to shine upon you and reveal to your heart, reveal to your spirit his power toward us. When he raised up Christ from the dead and seated him in his own right hand, I pray that God would open up your spiritual understanding to differentiate between the two covenants so that you can walk in the life. You can walk in faith and believe what he's done until you see the power of it manifesting rather than trying to do what God said to do so that your life will be good and life will be blessed and prosper and successful. May God give you the grace and the wisdom to understand the difference of the two covenants so you can lay hold of the eternal life of the Father that came down out of heaven and manifested to us. In Jesus' name, God bless you today. Amen.